Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 22, text number 5. Naita devam yatatta tvam. Yadaham vachmi tattata. Evam vedatam hetum. Shaktayo me durachaya. Translation. When philosophers argue, I don't choose to analyze this particular case in the same way that you have. It is simply my own insurmountable energies that are motivating their analytic disagreements. Purport. Because of the material potencies of the Supreme Lord, mundane philosophers are perpetually arguing about which came first, the chicken or the egg. By the influence of the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, different philosophers are attracted to different views. And by the influence of the material atmosphere created by the Lord, these philosophers perpetually disagree with one another. The Supreme Lord Himself, however, has given the clear explanation as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.431. Yat chakteyo vadatam vadinam vai vivada samvada bhuvi bhavanti kurvanti che samur atma mohan tasmai namo nante kuniyam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities. Acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views, he caused them to forget their own souls, while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Ginandana Salakya Shakchurun Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurive Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahaganoraganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As long as living beings are influenced by the three modes of material nature, they cannot be fully absorbed in glorification of the Supreme Lord, which only exists on the transcendental plane. One who is influenced by the three modes of material nature is still attracted to self-aggrandizement. That is not possible to avoid in some way or other. One is looking for some form of recognition by others. The ideas of such people who are influenced by the three modes of material nature are also influenced by a desire for self-aggrandizement. The sayings of the pure devotees are described to be free from material imperfections. They are described to be pure. They come down in the cyclic succession, in the avaroha panta, or in the descending process, not in the aroha panta, the process or the path by which, where someone by dint of his own intellectual strength is trying to figure out what is true and what is not true. It is mentioned Tarka Platista Suti Avibina Nasa Varisir Munir Matana Binam, many, many different munis and rishis have come up with their own conclusions on the basis of logic of the scripture, and they all disagree with one another. But the real absolute truth, Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panta, the real absolute truth remains hidden within the heart of the devotees. And therefore, one should follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, the great pure devotees of the Lord. That is actually the situation. So we are seeing like that, that we must try to be faithful to the previous Acharyas. I've been reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is repeatedly stating that he doesn't know the deeper meaning of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that he's simply trying to describe them externally. In other words, he's not going to try and derive deeper and deeper meanings out of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He doesn't feel qualified for this purpose. That is how our acharyas are very, very careful. Very careful in trying to say something bona fide in succession of previous acharyas. At the same time, in the 11th canto, it is also stated that one must take the conclusions of the scripture and then try to assimilate them and understand them with his own intelligence and then apply them according to one's understanding. So there is a certain room of also thinking by dint of one's own intelligence about the meaning of the scripture, not just blindly parroting. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also writing an essay which is entitled The Ethics of the Bhagavad. Yeah. And in this particular essay, he is saying that knowledge is not merely a matter of storing some facts and then in a parrot-like way repeating these facts. Rather, he says, knowledge means that one must think creatively. One must take whatever one's heard and creatively begin to understand of how to apply this knowledge in life. Mm-hmm. So here we are finding ourselves between repeating what we have heard from authorities and on the other hand also using our intelligence to creatively think about transcendental knowledge. There is a distinction made sometimes between mental speculation and philosophical speculation, where it is stated that mental speculation is forbidden. It is the activity where one on his own is trying to figure out, by dint of one's own intelligence, one's trying to figure out what is truth. Philosophical speculation is trying to understand how the statements of the acharyas are true. Yeah. That is required, it is said. That is required. But one must be, whatever one's understanding is, one must confirm that with scriptural or authority or guru, sadhu, and shastra, as Narottam Das Thakur is stating. In this way, we are safe. So yes, I remember the days that any discussion in our movement about the proper understanding would be closed with a Prabhupada said. And if anybody dared to go beyond a Prabhupada said, then, you know, that was off, totally off, right? However, then, you know, different books came out and were translated, people began to ask questions, but where did Prabhupada get it from? And that also became a question. Look behind Prabhupada, right? Look behind. For example, there were a seminar came up in the 90s entitled Unzipping Prabhupada's Purports, right? And looking at them as how Prabhupada's purports were compiled with comments of the commentaries from the previous acharyas. And one could take the commentaries of the previous acharyas, put them next to the purport, and see, oh, this he took from Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that, and in this way, one could analyze the purports. Of course, in doing so, one could also start to question the authority of what Prabhupada said. One could also start thinking that, like, well, but Jiva Goswami said, right? And some definitely started to consider that some who became too learned started to question Prabhupada's authority, even from the very beginning. Those who were studying Sanskrit, right, they at times thought that they understood better, the text better than Prabhupada. One of Prabhupada's Sanskrit editors, Nitai, had a problem with this and left and became a PhD and went on his own. And Prabhupada was not very pleased with him. So what to do? Chastity is important. And yet it is not forbidden to try and understand a little deeper what is behind Srila Prabhupada's purports. It's certainly sometimes quite helpful to see things in the light of the commentaries of previous acharyas. It can shed more light on what is meant. Sometimes also things are difficult to understand. For example, in the Nectar of Devotion, which is a summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada starts in the introduction and says, invoking auspiciousness. With these opening words, invoking auspiciousness. Well, and then he begins to write the introduction. If we look in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we see that there is the Mangala Charan. Mangala Charan means the auspicious offering to the lotus feet. Right? So Prabhupada in his English summary, Nectar Devotion, just writes, invoking auspiciousness. Okay, got it from Mangala Charan. Then we see a few verses, and we see how these verses are coming back in Prabhupada's introduction. So to look at the Nectar of Devotion and to put a translation of the text of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is certainly interesting, because, suddenly we understand. So such kind of study was recommended by Srila Prabhupada himself by those who had thoroughly studied his books. Prabhupada was not encouraging his disciples to read many other books. In Mayapur, one sannyasi by the name of Dena Sannyasi, now not anymore, but by the name of Satadanya Swami, was walking on the veranda in Mayapur of the Lotus Building, and in his hand he had a book from the Gaudiya Math that he had purchased there. And Prabhupada came walking on the veranda, and Prabhupada just came out of his room and said, "What book are you having there?" And Satadanya said, "That's a book of your spiritual master," right? Thinking like, what's he going to say against this, you know? Right? And then Prabhupada said, "Oh, nobody can understand the books of my spiritual master. He wrote those books for me." In this way, he smashed him. So Prabhupada was not like just encouraging, go read here, go read there, go read everywhere. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the example of Tapan Misra, who lived in East Bengal. And there is the famous reference, Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya. He studied too many scriptures, it was said. He studied so many scriptures that his heart had become full of doubt. And Tapan Misra therefore approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, I can't figure out anymore what the truth is. I read too many things. And then Mahaprabhu, okay, basically told him the truth and also told him to go to Varanasi and stay in Varanasi. And Tapan Misra was staying in Varanasi and he could not understand why he had to stay in Varanasi, in such a place, right, full of Mayavadis and impersonalists. But then later, Tapan Misra was there when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, and he was present when Mahaprabhu smashed the Mayavad philosophy of Prakasananda Saraswati and his disciples. And in this way, from all that reading, from so many scriptures, if inadvertently any Mayavad philosophy had entered, then now Tapan Misra in Banaras was being purified from this by hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's argument smashing that Mayavad. So Mahaprabhu, being Trigalagya, of course knew that this would happen and wanted Tapan Misra to be there. So both sides are there. One has to be fully conversant with Prabhupada's books before we go and look behind them in commentaries and so on. Otherwise, we start to become bewildered. And we might fall in the trap that we start to disagree with Srila Prabhupada. Then we have just promoted ourselves from being intelligent to the platform of over-intelligent. That is, when we think that we are more intelligent than Srila Prabhupada, then we are on the slippery slide. Right? And then, you know, that usually ends with the deep end, right? And one goes off the deep end and one doesn't know for how many lifetimes. So this is risky business. On the other hand, there was an interesting reference in Burijan's biography, in Burijan's the biography on Srila Prabhupada, where there is a morning walk on the beach, and Prabhupada is suddenly pointing to a crab on the beach, and he says, "Look, a scorpion." And all the devotees thought it was a crab. And it's like, you know, so everyone was like, "Ooh," and it's sort of like, you know, the penny dropped. You know, he made a mistake, and if he can make mistakes, then how many levels deep can these mistakes go? And how do we know that his teachings are free from mistakes? So, in the conversations, there are many conversations recorded of Srila Prabhupada with various persons, and they have been transcribed in 37 volumes, and those who are fired up can read them all, and should read them all. I did read them all several times. And there is a conversation with Jayadvaita Swami, then Brahmachari, who is asking the bold questions to Prabhupada. Like, sometimes it appears that the scriptures say that the pure devotees' sayings are free from any mistake, but sometimes it appears that the pure devotee is making mistakes. Prabhupada said, no, there are no mistakes. He said, no mistakes. No, but sometimes it appears that he makes a mistake, that he mistakes one thing for another. Before, for example, mistakes one person for another person. Prabhupada said, that is material. That is material. That is not important. He said, but on the spiritual platform, on the matter of Siddhanta, no mistake. No mistake. So that is interesting. Because we hear sometimes Prabhupada quoting a verse and he makes a mistake. You know, I mean, if you know the Gita and you learn some verses, you hear it. Wrong Sanskrit word. Right? Wrong word. Mistake. And we also make so many mistakes when we quote verses. So we know the phenomenon of memory. Memory is such a thing. But there is no mistake. No mistake in the Siddhanta. So we should not think that we understand Siddhanta better than His Divine Grace. That is important. So this kind of chastity must be there. One must be very, very chaste to Srila Prabhupada and trying to, with great faith, it's a matter of faith, one should understand that he is not only a scholar who has studied the books and has taken the conclusions from different scripture and then has come to a final conclusion, or he's not only one who has heard from his spiritual master. He has heard from his spiritual master, but there's something beyond. There's also direct perception. There is also Krishna revealing from within. There is also Krishna guiding from within. Prabhupada used to say, how is it that this miracle happened to me? He said, so many of my God brothers were very qualified, some extremely learned, maybe more learned than Prabhupada. Yes. But somehow or other, Prabhupada said that he was successful because he 100% followed the order of his spiritual master. So basically, yes, we should understand. We should understand the logic and argument of Prabhupada's books. We should thoroughly study these books. And when something is not clear or seems to be contradictory, we should try to clarify it as much as possible. Of course, I like to myself give an example of the daylight of knowledge, the twilight of knowledge, and the night of knowledge. When it comes to the daylight of knowledge, you speak about facts and details that are completely clear, and you know there is just no question about it. Right? There are, for example, there are five subject matters in the Bhagavad Gita, and there are four that are eternal and one that is not eternal, right? And the topics are Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, eternal or not eternal. What do you think? Okay, got that one right. Good. Then we've got the next one, Jiva. Okay, eternal or not eternal?
Eternal.
Eternal, eternal, eternal. Good, good, good. Then there is a description of... okay, I didn't want to give that one yet. I thought, let me first go to karma. Karma. Eternal or not eternal? Then there is prakriti. Eternal or not eternal?
Eternal.
But prakriti stops to exist. Then how is it eternal? What?
Resides in his body,
still
exists in his body.
Prakriti?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not the best philosophical answer if you don't mind. You know, like, sorry to disagree with the senior. But in this case, I guess, we stick with Baladeva Vijayabhusan's answers, right? Who is the origin of these five topics which Prabhupada gives in the introduction. Right? Comes from Baladeva's commentary. So, yeah, prakriti is eternal because it is sometimes as the day of Brahma, sometimes the night of Brahma, sometimes the material energy is manifest, sometimes not. But it's cyclic, it's always again, reoccurring. So therefore, it's eternal. It's not that it stops to exist, it just, sometimes is not manifest. Right. And then time. Eternal or temporary?
Eternal.
How is time eternal?
Krishna says he's time.
But, okay, but in the spiritual world there's no time.
Oh, but that's manifested, I mean, you know, in the material world manifests as time, so that's him.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's probably a whole bunch of other reasons.
Yes, again, the cyclic effect, the same, cyclic. Sometimes manifest, sometimes not manifest. Therefore also eternal. It just goes on. It doesn't. Not that time will ever stop. Right? The cycles of time will always repeat itself again and again. And that therefore it's considered eternal. Okay, good. So that's just daylight of knowledge. You know, that's just basic knowledge. There's no debate about it. There's no confusion about it. It's just one of those things that are completely crystal clear. Yeah. Then there is, well, what I would like to call the twilight of knowledge. It's the more difficult area. It's that kind of like more vague subject matter about which we don't have so much information. What do? You know, you have like a verse here, a verse there, and it just doesn't say everything. And then because we have we're lacking in information, then sometimes there are opinions about that. Huh? And devotees are arguing about such things. Huh? And such things create big arguments. Well, thinking of one example could be the fall of the jiva. Right? Such a wonderful topic. Everyone, it's just nectar, you know? Nectar. Did the jiva fall from the spiritual world or not? You know, I mean, you can, especially on rainy days, if you have no reason to go outside and you just want to kill some time, you can argue about this, you know? I mean, for hours and hours. And you can present a quote here and a quote there and you argue and argue and argue. Okay? So this is the twilight zone of knowledge, and somehow or other it will always remain vague. Of course, when a self-realized acharya like Srila Prabhupada starts to speak in the subject matter, his knowledge goes beyond the quotes that seem to contradict each other. And therefore, we can accept him as a referee in this regard and say, okay, we stay on Prabhupada's side. Yeah, yes. But not everyone can do, and therefore some are always going back to the quotes and keep on arguing, and therefore no matter what you say on the subject matter, sooner or later someone comes up again and says, but what about this? And devotees love to ask twilight questions. Yeah? Those are the ones that are like, you know, like very popular. Yeah? Especially when there's a Swami, you know. Get him, you know, with a twilight, with a twilight question. Now, one, it's always fun because one is, you might get your question answered, and number two, if he can't answer it, then you embarrass the Swami. So, you know, so you can't lose when you ask such questions to a Swami. Very, very popular. Right? So anyway, and then there's what I would like to call the night of knowledge. Those are things you just don't know. You just can't answer. Finished, you know what I mean? You just, some things like, you know, wait until you get there type of questions, you know. Millions of details about the spiritual world. Just wait until you get there, kind of. Night of knowledge. So, when we are going into the twilight zone of knowledge, or we touch upon an area where we don't have so much information, then one should proceed with care. Right? Then philosophical speculation is appropriate. One may question, well, it seems that here are some answers. Like, for example, let's come up with a good twilight one. I have a really good twilight one here. What is the eternal identity of Srila Prabhupada? Well, you know, there's been a lot said about the topic. You know? Of course, once when a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about what his spiritual identity was, Prabhupada said, that you do not require. Okay. But time went along, and then different from outside of senior swamis in the Gaudiya Math made statements, and one said Prabhupada was definitely a Madhurya Ras. Definitely Madhurya Ras. Madhurya. Other ones said that there is this famous poem that Prabhupada wrote, "Oh My Friend," and that, you know, Prabhupada clearly was in Sakya Ras, a cowherd boy. And then there was a lot of arguing up and down, and then some said that Prabhupada maybe was a Priyanarmasaka. These are the cowherd boys that sometimes assist the gopis in their meetings with Krishna, so we had a bit of both, you know. Yeah. And anyway, a paper has been written, and at one point Babru, who is a philosophically astute disciple of Srila Prabhupada, felt that all this speculation is going on, let me write a paper about it. And he wrote a paper in favor of cowherd boy Ras. So, you know, all that's out there on the internet. If you like Twilight Zone, then the internet is a great place. You can really like be there in the midst of stardust and so on. And then I saw some correspondence, and there was a letter of Adikarta Prabhu, who a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who said that this whole issue of whether Srila Prabhupada is a cowherd boy or whether he is in Madhurya Ras, said, we'll never resolve it. We never resolve it. He said that, you know, one could even consider another possibility. Okay? And that is, in the scriptures we find many references of devotees within whom two personalities were manifested. Right? Like in the case of Ramananda Roy, one sees that according to the Gauraganadesh Deepika, which is authorized, that he is simultaneously an incarnation of Vishakha, that's clearly Gopi, and an incarnation of Arjuna, that is clearly Gopa, Galherd boy. How is this possible? Now I'm telling you, in my twilight zone, my brain starts to spin around in circles. This cannot be. This is impossible. Huh? But so it is said in authorized scripture that sometimes two personalities are manifest within one, and we see even cross rasas. So Adikarta was saying, so that might also be possible, just to create some more confusion on the matter. And therefore, it is better we leave the matter unresolved and go back to Srila Prabhupada's original statement that you do not require. All right. I'm in support of that. Anyway, so a little bit of twilight roaming around, just to kind of illustrate what is going on. So, certainly we are not avoiding the twilight zone, but we are careful when we are there to jump to conclusions. And sometimes we take apparently contradictory statements, just put them on the shelf, for Ron, as they say in Australia. That's for Ron, you know. Ron means, for those who don't speak Australian, later on. For later on. For Ron, right? That's for Ron. Yeah, so some things are for Ron, and one shouldn't worry about that too much. We should have the patience to wait till things become revealed to us. Thank you very much for listening to my ramblings. If there are any questions or any comments to set me straight, Maharaj, please. Something authorized from the scripture.
Maharaj, those who go beyond Prabhupada's teachings, do you think it's contamination or like faith in Prabhupada?
Neither. Neither of the two. Srila Prabhupada himself, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 1, is giving a long description of the books of the Goswamis, and he lists them and gives summaries of them, and he invites us to study them. So it's not that one should not, when one is experienced, that it is showing a lack of faith when one looks beyond Prabhupada's books. But one should look beyond with the intention to understand Srila Prabhupada's books better and with chastity and faithfulness to Prabhupada. One should not jump over Prabhupada. And if there is some apparent disagreement, then we may note that, but we stay on the side of Prabhupada. Yeah, we say, oh, Prabhupada says this in his book. Yeah. Like this morning I was, I'm working on. We went to Bangladesh and we visited all holy places of related to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we want to make a bit of a book about that to make these places more famous. So I was this morning going over some biographical details of Haridas Thakur, and then there are references everywhere that Haridas Thakur took his birth in a village in the Khulna district in Bangladesh named Budan, or sometimes Buran. Buran. Okay, so it is set in that village. And then, but then in the purport to Adi Lila 1043, Srila Prabhupada is saying that we cannot, with certainty, accept that this birthplace is really this place is really the bona fide birthplace, which Prabhupada took from the Anubhashya, from commentary of his spiritual master. Okay, so now we have the whole pieces of the puzzle. So, okay, we say with Prabhupada, right? We say. I will mention in the book, yes, many people say that this is, and you'll find it pasted all over the internet, actually, but Prabhupada says this. And so does his spiritual master. Okay, so we stay with our acharya. Very simple. We don't jump over Prabhupada and try to. Jumping over is over intelligence, and that's where you get in the danger zone. And if there is a little weakness of faith, that tendency may be there. And it can very easily happen that when one starts to read a lot of other books, that one starts to think I know so many things, and actually, well, you know, this we cannot give so much importance. Because we should not only look at what does Prabhupada say, but we should also look at what emphasis has he put on it. Yeah? How much importance has he given this statement? See, you can also change the philosophy without changing the words, but by changing the emphasis. Yeah? Oh, well, this is actually, yes, Prabhupada said that, but it's not so important. Actually, you know, the acharyas also say, things in another light, and that's the general understanding, and therefore, that's of course more important. Okay, if you start to make such kind of statements, then it's possible, but then you'd have to be extremely learned, right, and mature, before you can start speaking like that. You must be very careful not to become over-intelligent. So better read the other books, but better stay simple and faithful to Prabhupada. But obviously we need scholars who can defend also what Prabhupada said, on the basis of other acharyas, and you'll find shocking things sometimes. Shall I shock you a little bit? Like, in the Bhagavad Gita, the parampara has been given from Madhvacharya, right, coming down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and if you go to Udupi, the headquarters of Madhvacharya, there the whole sampradaya for Madhva is listed. And it's completely different than what is listed in our Bhagavad Gita. I tell you, Mataji, it doesn't rhyme at all.
some of them, they say, we have nothing to do with the body.
Yeah, they say, because like, you look, it's totally different. And how do we deal with this? Okay, put that under your hat and just... lose some sleep over it. Okay, so with this I can end the lecture and leave you with doubt. No, so then some homework has been done by scholars, and it has been found out that there was a particular branch from the Madhva Sampradaya which split off of the Udupi Math and went to Belgaum. And they have a list which is the same as ours. Some names are spelled a little different, but you know, close enough to sort of figure it out. And the name of Lakshmipati Tirtha is missing, but anyway, maybe he wasn't. Some say maybe he wasn't an acharya in the mat, right? Maybe he was just an independent guru, because there are so many. They will not be listed, you know. So one not listed, you can get over that. So saved the sampradaya listed in Prabhupada's Gita, just by the skin of our teeth. Oh my God. So sometimes it's good to do some homework, because otherwise one day someone from Udupi will come and will suddenly say, you know, with Prabhupada's Gita in his hand, this is not bona fide. And then you stand there, but So we do need some devotees who are studying things, and but not that everybody has to know these things. Everyone just say, this is the sampradaya given, and Prabhupada gave it, here it is, finished. You know, hurry ball. Anyone else?
I was wondering, how do we get the time to read everything and read everything again?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, I was also asking that question to myself, and I decided I'm going to make time by kicking out other things. And so I eventually took sannyas, and then, you know, you have all the time for these kind of things. So I had a great time, and I was studying the Nectar of Devotion, and I was reading Jiva Goswami's commentaries, reading the translation of the verses in Jiva Goswami's commentary. So I thought, like, I'm going deep now. Then I was in New York, and I met Pradyumna, the original ACBSP Pradyumna, who was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, and who is like, now that Gopi Puranadan has left, he's the greatest scholar in ISKCON, undoubtedly. And so I was talking with Pradyumna, and I asked Pradyumna, I said, Pradyumna, what do you think of these translations of Jiva Goswami's commentary? Because after all, I can't work from the Sanskrit, I work from a translation. So I thought, okay, let me just be really thorough now and make sure that get an opinion about the translation. And then he goes like, well, he said, the translation is not too bad. He said, the problem is that you can't really understand Jiva Goswami's commentary without understanding the commentaries on Jiva Goswami's commentary, and the commentaries on those commentaries, and the commentaries on those commentaries, and actually they go five layers deep. And then he starts quoting left and right from all the five layers and prove it to me. And then I stood there like, I see. Oh, very interesting. And I realized, you know, I'm just an amateur playing around with some commentaries, and there's just no end to it. You know? When it comes to scholarship, there's like, it just goes on and on and on. That's for sure. So, but different folks, different strokes, and you know. And as one has if one is in a position of authority and has to speak on authority, on scripture as an authority, well, one has to be able to support it with scripture. That's important. And Deva Sannyasi should study. Jnana Yoga Vyavastitaha. That is one of their occupations, to study the scripture, isn't it? To go deep and study scripture, because they have to be they have to have authoritative answers. And why only sannyasis? Those with half a brain? Finished. I've worn you out. You must be finished now. Thank you. I'm also finished. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.